Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Scheduled to join us shortly is Dan Graziano from ESPN. Of course, the number one story here throughout training camp, throughout the offseason, has been Terry McLaurin. And there really hasn't been any movement, it seems, in weeks.
No, people were kind of reading into it a little bit a couple days ago when Adam and Terry were kind of talking on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's been some more chatter behind the scenes, but as far as we could tell, no movement.
Right.
No, and I'm telling you, I agree with what we're going to talk about later, that I don't think Adam Peters is going to budge that much, because mm-hmm. he's kind of got all the leverage.
And one thing we haven't talked enough about, too, is one of the first moves they made early on was when they hired Eugene Shen, the analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in Kime's article, they talked about some of the analytics of receivers at his age.
Yeah, but there are receivers
steadfast.
That have been over 30, like Steve Smith. There are receivers that have been very productive.
Sure.
So you know, right, got that.
Yeah, we
too.
Went through those guys. Yeah.
Dan Graziano joins us right now from ESPN NFL Insider. Hey, Dan.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Dan?
Your read on this Terry McLaurin thing? It's been kind of the big story here for the Commanders throughout the offseason, and it doesn't seem like from afar that there has been much movement.
It doesn't. No, I mean, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I saw him come out at the end of practice and sign the autographs, and they chanted his name and everything. It's quite a scene, but no, both sides seem dug in. And I think you guys are just talking about, you know, how the organization is data-driven, analytics-driven at this point with Josh Harris at the top. And I think, you know, there have been productive wide receivers after 30. Yeah, but, like, they're not, you know, you're not betting on the outlier. So you're saying, like, yeah, we love you. We think there's a good number. The number you have in mind is too much for us, especially when you talk about guaranteeing money out in future years, mm-hmm. you know, past the age of 30. So he's got $20 million coming this year if he does nothing, right? So, like, if his worst-case scenario is, all right, I'll play for 20, and, you know, we'll do this again next year when I'm a free agent. I'll bet on myself, then that's one possible outcome for sure. But I don't know. I mean, if he wants over 30 a year, then I'm just not sure, based on anything I've heard, that the Commanders are ready to go there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're anywhere near ready to go there. I just don't even know if they're that steadfast in their belief what's going to make them sort of budge at all. They've got all the leverage. Terry's not going to sit out. He's not stupid. He's not going to let his, you know, so why not just, I mean, I hate it. I'm always pro player, but from their perspective, I just don't see them budging, like, a dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see it.
Right. And so, like, you know, you can obviously see both sides. He's been the good soldier there. But, like, unfortunately, the reality is, like, teams don't want to pay you for what you've already done. They want to pay you for what you're going to do while they're paying you, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking ahead and saying the odds, all our data is telling us that this isn't the right move to go to those kinds of numbers for a receiver over 30. So, yeah, that's not going to change. Like, they're not going to, like, wake up and suddenly get, like, a whole big bunch of new data that says, oh, wow, we were wrong. Like, we really should be paying this. So
right.
Someone's position is going to have to change. And, look, 3 weeks to go, he knows the offense. He's there. He's watching film with Jaden Daniels. Like, it's not, you know, if they get signed here in the next week or so, it's not a complete disaster. But, you know, it's the one thing. There's so many good vibes around that. You guys imagine never saying that. There's so many good vibes around that organization right now. And this is the one thing that's sort of hanging over it that cuts against that.
What should make of? So I'm just looking at this from a fan perspective, right? I don't have a professional, like, I'm not there every day. From afar, I've been so excited for this season. But, you know, with the Terry thing hanging over him, all the reports have been that the defense has been way ahead of the offense. You know, clearly there's an obvious hole at receiver and depth there. The offense is just not the same without him. No, that could just be normal training camp stuff. But then when I start looking at the schedule, Dan, and then I start looking at all the one, you know, possession games we won last year, which we know we're not going to go like 6-for-6 in one possession games and Hail Mary stuff. You know what I mean?
I start getting
nervous.
So, of course. I mean, this is for real. You're not sneaking up on anybody this time.
Yeah.
People are going to be ready. So, yeah, look, when they don't have, and the day I was there, McLaurin obviously wasn't out there. Noah Brown wasn't out there. You're like, man, this is going to be at or behind the line of scrimmage throws to Debo and Zach Ertz, and that's what they got. Like, maybe Eckler, right? So that's not going to work. They're gonna need to expand that out. And I think the rookie tackle, Connerly, I think they feel like he's coming along. But, like, is he going to be ready to start day one? There are definitely some questions. Is there enough on the edge on defense? Like, do they have enough edge rush? There are definitely some questions after a team that I think, you know, again, like, it's not – I don't think it's any kind of insult to say they probably overachieved last year. I think that's a compliment to the young quarterback, to the coaching staff, and I think, you know, now that they've been through that and done that, it's like the old cliche about how do you handle success, and that's a big next step. Fortunately, I mean, they have the right people in positions of leadership, right? Dan Quinn's been through this. He went to the Super Bowl in his second year as head coach of the Falcons. So, like, there's definitely a plan. But roster-wise, I do think you're right to kind of look and say there's some questions that need to be answered.
Hey, Dan, I know you've been covering the Rashee Rice deal. Wide receiver for the Chiefs. Now, his career has been a disaster. I mean, he was good in his rookie year. They drafted him in the second round a few years ago and had a good rookie year, but then he gets hurt last year, misses basically the entire year, and then he's in a car accident where he caused multiple injuries in the offseason. So he is going to – I guess there's an NFL hearing, a disciplinary hearing on September 30th in New York. What do you think is going to happen there? He can play for the first 4 weeks until the hearing, I believe, and then will he get suspended for the rest of the year, you think?
So that's the question, right? So, like, what generally happens here is these guys, knowing discipline is coming, knowing there's a likely personal conduct policy violation, what they'll do is they'll get together with their agent and the union, and they'll talk to the league about, like, what should it be? Like, what should the suspension or fine or both, what should that be? And they'll generally negotiate it. And then it doesn't get to a hearing. But what happened here is they couldn't come to agreement on what the proper discipline should be. So the player said, all right, I'll take my chances. Let's go to a hearing. And the hearing officer, who's Sue L. Robinson, who oversaw the Deshaun Watson case 3 years ago, you know, September 30th is when she could do it. So, yes, he can play in the meantime. I guess it's possible they could go back and talk again and come up with an agreement, but it sounds like they're ready to go to a hearing. So if you look back at the timeline from Deshaun Watson, it took her about a month to issue a ruling after that hearing. And then the NFL appealed it because they didn't think the suspension she proposed was long enough, and then they ultimately negotiated. So it was really almost 2 months after that hearing before there was a resolution on Deshaun's suspension. Now, obviously, different situation. But it gives you some sense of this. What we are is, instead of accepting a suspension to start the season of however, whatever length, you now have to wonder when the suspension is coming, how long it's going to be, is it going to hang over the back half of your season? Could it extend into the postseason?
Right.
I think this whole thing just brings up a lot more uncertainty for the Chiefs as opposed to finding agreement on a settlement and getting this out of the way.
Talking to Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN. I see you on Get Up most mornings, and Shedeur Sanders is always a topic.
A little bit. What is
your read on what's going to happen there in Cleveland? I mean, Flacco's going to start early. How do you see the season playing out?
They got to figure out what they have, right? And you know what Flacco is. So, like, look, you never know about a season. Could the Browns start 4-0 and shock everybody and they're like contend and Flacco's found the fountain of youth and everything looks great? You know, sure. But the more likely outcome here is obviously that that doesn't happen and that they have to make a change at quarterback at some point, as most teams do in the course of the season. And if that happens, then, you know, you have to find out what you have in the young guys. And I think that's where Shedeur comes in the picture, Dylan Gabriel comes in the picture, and the fact that they have two first-round picks in next year's draft weighs very heavily in all this, because, you know, are you going to need to use those to get a quarterback, or do you already have one? And you have to know that answer by the time you get to next year's draft. So I think you're going to see a season where a lot of different guys play quarterback for the Browns. And if Shedeur Sanders is healthy and shows them more of what he showed them in that first preseason game, I certainly think there's a chance he ends up being one of them.
So we got to see a little bit of Travis Hunter play both sides of the football. What are your expectations for him moving forward to the regular season? More receiver, more corner, or both?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I went to that camp as well and talked to their people about what the plans are. And they're really figuring it all out, you know, what they can give him on both sides of the ball. That's kind of what they're using this offseason and training camp for. So, they intend to play him both ways. And I honestly think, guys, it could be a situation where the plan changes week to week depending on their own injury situation, depending on the matchup. Like, you know, if we're playing the Bengals, do we need more help at cornerback this week, right? And should we give him more cornerback work in practice as a result? And then maybe next week we need more help at wide receiver, you know. So I think that's their ideal situation, is for him to show proficiency at both at a level that enables them to kind of move him around, or at the very least, put it in the other team's head while that team is practicing and getting ready to play them in the course of the week. They're very excited about him. They talk about how he doesn't get tired, but they have to, you know, they have to manage him and make sure he doesn't wear down and you get beat up too badly. So they're figuring all that out. They give him defense in some practices, offense in some practices, both in some practices, and it's a lot of fun for him and for them to think about what this can be. Actually, I think it's one of the cooler stories just as a neutral fan to watch and see how this is going to play out.
Talking to Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN. Hey, how concerned do you think Sean McVay is about this Matt Stafford back injury? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced at all. He threw on the side last week about 70 passes, and then McVay said, yeah, his back didn't respond very well. He's going to I guess he's going to work out tomorrow morning at practice and throw on the side. How concerned do you think they are about this? This is serious.
I think, you know, more than they were last week, because, like, you just look at it, like, last week the plan was for him to throw before the game and then practice on Monday. And he threw before the game and he still hasn't practiced, and it's a week later. So now they're telling us the exact same stuff they told us last week.
Right.
He'll work out on Saturday and then hopefully we'll get him into practice next week. So we're at a point now where they have this plan and have had this plan for getting him ready to go, and they've had confidence in it based on the caliber of their people and their history of getting players ready to go in similar situations. But his back is not abiding by the plan. So they have to adjust it. So here we are 3 weeks out, still hasn't practiced in camp. He's Matthew Stafford. He knows the offense. He's won a Super Bowl in this offense. If he is, his back feels better next week and he gets into practice, I think they feel pretty good about him being ready to play week one and about their chances this year. But if we're sitting here next Friday and they're saying the exact same stuff, well, we'll work him out tomorrow and hopefully he'll be ready. It gets more alarming by the week. He's a 37-year-old player with a lot of wear and tear on his body, and I think it's fair to start to be concerned. How concerned Sean McVay is, Sean's a pretty open book in these press conferences. You can kind of tell, but I think that concern level rises with each day they don't see him out there.
Dan, real quick, the last couple seasons, there have been teams that have kind of come out of nowhere and made a run into the playoffs. Last year, it was the Commanders. The year before that, it was the Texans. Do you have a team this year that might sneak up on everybody and really have a big turnaround?
Out of nowhere, like a team that, you know, like the 49ers don't count, right?
Cause they no, were, you can't count the Niners.
And they fell apart due to injuries, right? I'm curious if Carolina did enough on defense, like, and if the quarterback's a real thing. Like, if Bryce Young is going to be the guy he was last December, in a division like that, that's a team I wouldn't be surprised to. I wouldn't be totally shocked to see them make at least a little bit of noise. So there's an off the radar one for you.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
All right, Dan, appreciate the time. Have a good show coming up on ESPN. Get up.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Yep. You too.
Dan Graziano, ESPN.
I root for Bryce Young. He seemed like a nice kid, right? I
remember, great kid.
Seeing him being interviewed, you know, around the draft and everything. And
great kid.
Just seemed like a great kid, so I root for him.
Yeah.
Love to see him do well.
And he played better in the second half of the season. Remember, he got benched, and then he came back, and he was playing much better.
Yep.
You just wonder about the size, but there have been guys his
size
who have succeeded.
Not that worried about the size, actually. Just you know.
It kind of comes down to.
You need to protect him.
Protecting him.
Get some guys open.
And then put some guys around him that can get open. And they drafted McMillan, Tet McMillan. So he's got a true number one receiver, although he's a rookie. But he's gonna be really good.
I mean, I guess I worry about size in terms of the hits, but I don't worry about it in terms of like being able to see the field. You know, I don't know which one you're referring to. If you mean like
getting mean seeing the field.
Yeah, I think he's been doing that his whole life. If you can't see the field, then it's over. Then it won't work. I feel like he could do that.
Last three games of the season, he had three touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
That was against Arizona, Tampa, and Atlanta down the stretch.
And they're saying he's looked good in camp. I think he looked good in the first. And
didn't the head coach say at some point?
Canales.
Yeah, Canales. Didn't he say that either he regretted benching him or he made a mistake or that there was some sort of controversy about it. I mean, obviously, Bryce Young didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember reading some comments about it.
I think he did say that.
There was something along those lines.
Yep.
A little bit later this hour, we have our Junkies Weekend Parlay. Mo Egger, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals, he'll jump on at 8:45 as we get into preseason game number 2 for the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football. They take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up next, we'll hear what Yahoo's Charles Robinson said about Adam Peters and maybe why this negotiation with Terry McLaurin is taking so long.